We're going to pray and get started. Father, we just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Lord, this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice in it, Father. Father, we thank you that you open our eyes that we see, our ears to hear, and give us a heart to understand as whatever we need to hear, Father. We give you glory and praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Tonight we're going to start in chapter 2. And it's the funnel from heaven, chapter 2. And as we get into this lesson, we're going to break down the fivefold ministry graces into their individual compartments. So we're going to give you some notes first. And then as we get into those graces, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors, and we're going to give you some characteristics of each from this lesson. The funnel from heaven. Culture of honor is set up to follow God's government. We made that statement. Some of these may be refresher notes, so we'll start giving you some review. A culture is that which distinguishes life in one group from life in another group. When we think of the life in the culture of honor, we're thinking of authority, and we're thinking of power. Those are the two things that the words that I want you to remember as we go through this lesson: authority and power. The church has a culture, and the world system has its culture. And Word of God has told us, be not conformed, Romans 12:2. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So when we begin to teach, when we minister this, we're not talking world system government. We're talking our spiritual government, kingdom of God government. The church culture is founded upon the apostolic and prophetic anointing. The church culture is founded upon the apostolic and prophetic anointings. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We covered that scripture. Over in Ephesians 2, we can go over there and we can see it. Like I said, we are going through a paradigm shift from the things that we've heard in the past, learning some new information, putting new wine in new wineskins. So over in Ephesians 2, scripture 19 and 20, it says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we're saying this culture itself is built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. It's on a prophetic and apostolic anointing. Without a complete, mature expression of these graces, these apostolic graces, these prophetic graces that equip the saints, the studying on cannot be adequately prepared to contain what God is pouring out and release it to the world around them. So we have to have a complete, mature expression and knowledge of these graces in order to maintain what God is pouring out and also to release it to the world around us. As we talk about these ministry graces, these gifts was given to men, it was put in men, but it wasn't for their personal use, it was to impart to the body of Christ. Over in Ephesians 4 and 11, we talked about these graces. Like I said, we'll repeat, you'll hear over and over and over again. So word of faith, word of God says, faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we know that God, he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, he gave some evangelists, he gave some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we are going through, we're equipping you so that you can go out and in the ministry, edify the body of Christ, and to become mature in the things of God. We must be able to contain what God is pouring out and be able to release it to the world around us. We must maintain this culture that is appropriate for the mission with an expression of each of the other fivefold ministry graces described in Ephesians 4 and 11. We're talking about the other three. We talk about the apostolic anointing and the prophetic anointing. But the other fivefold ministry graces should come in under there, which is the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. Because of these, each of these diverse anointings addresses an essential part of the identity and purpose of the church through their specific areas of focus and motivation. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Tell you what, go to Ephesians first. And just follow the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm just going to read verse 11, Ephesians 4 and 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning at verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verse 27. It says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set, that's the part I want you to see. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, government, and diversity of tongues. So as we set up and establish God's government in the church, then we can begin to see those supernatural manifestations happen in the body of Christ. Why? Because we've set up God's government. We've set it up the way he wanted, and we've ordered it the way he wanted done. And so now when we do what he tell us to do, then what he said he was going to do, he's going to confirm his word with signs following. We as believers, once we are mature, once we are trained, turn to Matthew chapter 28. Tell you what, make it Mark. Go to Mark. I like Mark better. Mark did a better job of it then. And this is part of what he's doing. He said, for the work of the ministry, for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so over in Mark chapter 16, and when he commissioned, not only did he commission the apostles, but he commissioned every believer. And without a proper understanding, without proper training, this great commission that God gave to the church and to the believer cannot be carried out unless they have a complete understanding of these graces that God give to the body of Christ. Here in Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 15, and he said unto them, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. In the body of Christ, this is what God has commissioned the body to do. But as we see, it's not happening the way God set it up. We are going out. A few people are getting saved, but are we really laying hands on the sick and they are recovering? That's the word of God. God has told us His word will not return to Him void, but will accomplish that which He sent it out to do. And so if He said that we can do this, then we should be able to do it. Verse 19, So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. That's what we are supposed to be done as the body of Christ. We are supposed to be confirming God's word with these signs. What are these signs? And we'll get into them. We'll see some of them as we get into the study. And so we have to be trained. We have to have an understanding of what God is saying here. So here Paul clearly lays out an order of priority in this passage. He said, now you're a body of Christ, first of all. You're individual members of it. And God has appointed in the church. He said, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Then he said, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and then he talks about various types of tongues. And this order is related to the realm of the supernatural that corresponds to each particular office. The anointings on the apostle and prophets creates a perspective that is primarily focused on perceiving what is going on in heaven and bringing that to earth. It's perceiving what's going on in heaven and bringing that to earth. Remember over in Acts chapter 6. And so we have to understand that when God set up the apostles, when He set up these fivefold ministry graces, He set up a order. And when He set the order up, the order flows like I see it as a pyramid. And it flows down. So He gave it, He said, it built up on the foundation of the apostles. And
when you walk in
Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. So in every church,
we're going to see
the evangelists and the teachers. There should be an apostle somewhere that they are sitting in this culture, the way God set it up. But in the Western church, we see that God, in the Western church, we find out that most churches are run by the evangelists or the pastors or the teachers, and the apostles and the prophets are missing out. And because they are missing, then these supernatural manifestations are also missing. Because what we
got several things I want to talk about.
And not the way God wants us to do it. Turn to the Apostle Paul began to teach, and he began to say some things. And over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And so we can't do it the way man do it. If we do it the way man do it, then the results we get is what we basically see every day. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and the Apostle Paul, he was taught himself. He said, man didn't teach him this. He said it was revealed to him by God Himself, by Christ Jesus. And so as he get in, he began to explain some things throughout the scripture. He began to tell the body of Christ how we should operate in this kingdom throughout all these epistles. And so here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he began to say some things. And what he said is, he said, I don't do it the way man do it. I come to you in man's wisdom, but with the wisdom I come to you with straight from God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he begins at verse 1. He's saying, I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. What we've gotten into, as our apostles say, we've gotten into performances. And you know, inspiration is good, but performances and inspiration does not bring the supernatural on the scene. It makes us feel good, but God said, I will confirm my word with signs following. We need to see some signs following. That's the only way we're going to get the world to come to us is once we begin to see those signs. They begin to see those signs. What is that? Miracles, deaf begin to hear, blind eyes see, cripple begin to walk. And so once they begin to see that, then they're going to come, just like in the book of Acts. Everywhere those signs begin to show up, the people begin to show up. And so as people show up, then that's how we edify the body of Christ. That's how we build up the body of Christ. He said, "For I determined not to know anything among you, save," verse 2, "save Jesus Christ and him crucified." He said, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." He said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." In demonstration of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and in power. So when he spoke to you, there was something that happened every time he would minister, every time he would speak to them. He said that your faith, why is it your faith? He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So now when I see someone who was lame get up and throw their crutches away, throw their cane away, and begin to walk when they came in limping, then that's in, we know that man couldn't do this. And so since man couldn't do this, God had to do it. So then that builds my faith up. That increases my faith. And when my faith is increased, I can go out and begin to do those exact same things. So it's that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He said, howbeit, verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, are mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. He said, howbeit, verse 6, howbeit we speak among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, not the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So we've been understanding our apostle. Again, I have to keep bringing him up, because he's ministering to us, and he wanted to bring us to a new level. He wanted us to go higher. He wanted to go places that man has never gone before. And that's part of that culture that we are learning. He that receiveth an apostle in the name of an apostle shall receive an apostle's reward. So as he do, we also do. So we can look at him, and as Jesus said, he said, "The works that I do shall you do, and greater works also." And so, but he didn't say he went to his Father. But he's giving us an example that what he do, we can do. As we learn, as we train, as we mature in the things of God. He goes on to say, it talks about some spiritual things. It talks about some natural things the Apostle Paul do. He said, "But as it is written," he said, "I had not seen, nor you heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." And he said, the natural things, you can't see them in natural. He says, but if you listen to me, that's why we meditate that scripture in Romans chapter 8. It says, "But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And it said the whole earth, whole creation is waiting for our manifestation. That means we have not manifested yet what God wants us as sons of God to manifest. That means that as we walk and we walk this earth like Jesus did, we're going to begin to show those signs. We're going to begin to show those wonders that he carried when he was walking this earth. When we walk up, we're going to walk into Satan's territory, and we're going to destroy the works of the devil. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to destroy. We are individuals. Are we doing it? No, we're not doing it. But we're going to get there. We're going to train. Mark 4 and 26 said, "The kingdom of God, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and sleeps night and day, that seed springs up and grows, and we know not how." He said, "But first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear." He says it's a process. As we learn, as we train, and we begin to do, we just can't hear these things. We got to be able to do. We got to get out of the boat is what we got to do. When we come up on sickness and disease, we got to do just like Jesus. And no, it's not us doing it anyway. It is God himself that's doing it, but he's doing it through us. And until we begin to do those things, until we get that boldness to carry out God's mission on this earth, then we can never begin to happen. But we pray for boldness, that we can speak those words and God will manifest himself through us. Amen. He said, but God has revealed them, verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit such is all things, yet are deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. That means the Holy Spirit. That means the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit knows all things. And it's for us who, in Mark 4 says, it's for us who are in the kingdom to know the mysteries of the kingdom. So if we know the mysteries, then we can carry out those mysteries. Word of God also tells us when we pray in tongues in Corinthians, he said we're praying mysteries. And the Holy Spirit will reveal what we should do as we pray in this tongue, this language that the Spirit of God has given to us. We've learned that praying in tongues is an opening into the supernatural. That's why we get in. We get into the supernatural by beginning to pray in tongues. In verse 12, he says, now we have not received the spirit of the world. So what am I saying? It's not a natural kingdom that we're in. It's a spiritual kingdom. And we have to know that it is a spiritual kingdom that we're in. And we operate different from the world system. It says, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13 says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And verse 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. When I say we are in a spiritual kingdom, we are not going to be able to receive these things that we are ministering in our natural man. We cannot understand them in our natural man. But the Holy Spirit can reveal them to us, and he reveal them to our spirit. And once he reveal them to our spirit, then we know them. We have them in here. And so we have to understand that the Spirit was first, and then everything that was in the Spirit was manifested in the realm of the natural. And so we've been learning, we've been teaching, taught that you have to, if you want something manifested in your life, it has to be manifested in the Spirit first. You have to get it in your spirit, and then once you get it in your spirit, then you can manifest it in the natural. If you want to know something, you want to know how something operates, I had an old pastor used to teach us. He said, if you want to know how something operates, he said, always go back to the book of Genesis, book of beginnings. And the first word there says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. He said the earth was without form, without void, and without form, and God said. And so it was in his spirit, and once he spoke it out, then it manifested in the natural. So once we get this in our spirit, we begin to do these things. We begin to say these things, and as we say them, they'll begin to manifest like we need them to manifest. So we need to know first. We need to know. And so as believers, we're being trained. We're being taught to do these things. Amen. The teacher is focused on being able to describe everything that happened accurately. And the evangelist and the pastor are focused on the people. Each of these areas of focus is vitally important. But in order for them to function together as God intended, they must relate to one another according to his order of priority. They must relate to each other in order of his, God's priority. He said, and God has set some in the church. He said, first apostles, secondarily pastors, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. So God said, I set up an order. And in order for these things to operate, we must know the order and we must operate accordingly. The areas of heavenly focus come first and influence the area of earthly focus. That's when I showed you that in Genesis, where everything was in the realm of the spirit first, and then it came into the natural. When Paul makes apostles first, prophets second, and teachers thirdly, he's describing a flow. There's a flow that comes out. It's like I say, it's apostles. The apostles are looking to heaven, finding out what heaven wants. And as they find out what heaven wants, they bring that to earth. But it flows through the teacher, it flows through the pastor, and it flows through the evangelist. A perfect example, turn to Acts chapter 6. And like I said, God give us principles, he assures us things in scripture, and then as we see them and as he reveal what he's saying to us, and we can better operate in them. Here in Acts chapter 6, he said, beginning at verse 1, I just read, like I said, I like to read scripture, so I just read it here. He said, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows was neglected in their daily ministration. So in their natural everyday life, they was seemed like they was being neglected. Then the 12, which was the 12 apostles, called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So their main purpose was to find out what it is that heaven wants. They want to stay in the word. It's not, you know, it's not reasonable for us to leave the word of God and leave prayer time and do these minor menial things. But it's to continually see God. God, what it is you want. God, what it is you want. Watch what he say in verse 3. He say, wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we appoint over this business. So, and that we've trained enough people in our assembly, in our congregation, that they can take care of these things. Well, they're full of faith because why? We train them. We mature them. They can work in the ministry. They can do these things. And it goes on to say, he says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So they was finding out. They were seeking. They was looking for what heaven want here on the earth, and bring that to what heaven needs, and bring that to earth. And what we did, we see here, they called, he gave some names here. He's saying, they're saying, please the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of the Antiochs, and whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And so then, as these ministers, these table waiters was trained, you'll find out that Stephen, who was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, we find out that signs and wonders followed him. We find out also Philip, who was also full of the Holy Ghost and full of power. The same thing that the apostles was doing, they did the same thing. Because why? They had been trained. They were trained in the work of the ministry. And so the apostles came under the apostles, but they was able to do the exact same things. And so the apostles, again, the main forte is to find out, continue to seek heaven. Find out what heaven wants. Find out what it is God that wants here on the earth. And what I do as we get further into this teaching, into this training, specifically, since we don't know, we understand about pastors, we know what evangelists do, we know what teachers do, we know what prophets do, but we haven't been actually trained on these apostles. I know we have apostolic strategies, but the Holy Ghost gave me a list of specific duties an apostle. So as we get into these trainings, I will either put it up on the internet, because there's a whole list. I won't teach it, but I'll give it to you as a free course, and you can go on the internet and you can find it under Culture of Honor class. Amen. He said the flow streams through the teachers, releasing miracles and healings, and continues through helps and administration of tongues. But sorry to say today, I'm getting ready to cut a little bit. He said, but sorry to say today, rather than having the apostles and prophets at the foundation of the church culture, the Western church has largely placed the teacher, pastor, or evangelist at the helm. So they are at the helm, and like I said, we're preaching good messages, we're teaching good words, but a lot of it is from man's wisdom and not from God's wisdom. And so therefore we're not seeing those signs and those wonders that God set up for us to see according to the Bible. It's defrauding the church of its supernatural ability by letting the teacher state clearly and accurately the truths of the Bible in a theological sound message in an effort to build security in the lives of the believer. So we got pastors and teachers, and they're teaching the word, but what we're finding out basically is just knowledge we're getting a lot of information through the teachers. They're teaching us a lot of things. They're teaching us a lot of principles, but they're not teaching us how to access the supernatural. How we do this? There are ways God has shown us through the apostles. One of the ways we find out is that as we worship God and get into His presence, and not our doing, not through our faith, not through our anointing, but the glory of God shows up on the scene. And then God, we just step back. When God begin to operate, when He begin to do the things that He does, then we are to step back. Most time when we get into an environment where God begins to move, we don't know what to do. And that's the bottom line right there. We think it's something that we have to do. God said, I will do this. And He said, the zeal of the Lord, over in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, He said, the zeal of the Lord will perform this. He said, of my peace there shall be no end. And then that's when He tells us the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. And so God said, I'm going to do this, but I have to find a people who I can work through. Jesus was the example. He showed us that. He said, I don't do nothing unless I see my Father do it. He said, I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it. And so He was trying to tell us, this is how it's done. I just get out of the way. I empty myself of me and get out of the way, and then allow God to come through me and work through me and get what He wants done in the earth realm. And so, and instead of operating, instead of performing, instead of trying to teach outlines and principles, we just get out of the way and let God do what He needs to do. He says, again, the teachers say clearly and accurately the truths of the Bible in a theological and sound message in an effort to build security into the lives of the believer. By letting the pastor create a church that has strong family values and systems in place to nourish strong character and relationships. We have strong character, we have strong relationship, but when the enemy comes in, we don't know how to deal with the enemy. We have good character, excellent character, but like I say, the enemy comes in and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we don't know how to deal with him when he comes. What Jesus said, I came that you might have life and might have it more abundant. John 10:10. So he said, so there's a way that we can do this. And there's a way that we can operate in the kingdom. But we have to learn. We have to, again, train how to operate in this system. The evangelists emphasize church growth and to train church members to share their faith and lead others to Christ. But these are earthly focused models of leadership. And so what we're doing, we're teaching earthly focused models instead of heaven focused models. So we have to begin to get back the way God set it up and begin to see heaven. What heaven wants? Jesus said, pray this way. He said, pray our Father which art in heaven. He said, holy is thy name. Hallowed be thy name. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So if we're not seeing it, then we begin to ask God. He told us, he said, we can ask and we'll receive if we ask. And so we want God. We want him to show his glory in the earth realm. We want to see what God does. And like I said, we're in the church and not seeing these manifestations. Where are all these miracles? The prophet asks, where are all these signs? Where are all these miracles? The Bible is full of them, but are we seeing them? Are we operating in them? So we have to be able, we have to train to operate in the supernatural. Without the flow of grace from the apostles and prophets, who are not only focused on seeing what is going on in heaven, but also on releasing that reality on earth. So it has to be, not only can they see what's going on, they have to be able to release it. They have to be able to show others how to do it. They have to impart to others what's going on in heaven so we can also operate the same way. And if the church at large continues in this way, it will lead us to focus on what we know God has done in the past and miss out on what God is doing now. So we continue to see what it's more like I've heard the statement that we're teaching a historical gospel, and historical gospel has no power in it. It tells us what has happened, what God has done in the past, but it does nothing for us today. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the things that they did yesterday, we should be able to see those today, and then tomorrow we also should be able to see those exact same things. So but we have to find somebody who is willing to empty themselves and allow God to do what he needs to do. The fivefold anointings of teacher, Jesus demonstrated by both preaching and demonstrating his messages with miracles. Turn to our chapter, Matthew chapter 11. By demonstrating his messages with miracles. So Jesus, again, we have to come to the conviction. Jesus modeled this life for. He came as a man, and so he showed us how to operate. He showed us how this life should go. In Matthew chapter 11, he had gotten his ministry. After he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he went off in the wilderness. Over in Luke 4:18, he said, Spirit of the Lord is up on me because God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he gave us all these things that he turned. Hold your hand in Matthew chapter 11. Let's turn to Luke 4, and we'll see what his message, what his ministry was, what God gave it to him. And Luke 4:18. And they said, this is a message that everywhere he went, this is a message that he preached. But not only did he preach this message, he also demonstrated this message. It said, the Spirit of the Lord, Luke 4:18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That means the good news. Now, he came to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That was the ministry that he got when he came out of the wilderness after he had been tested those days by the enemy, and by Satan. And he had told us that man shouldn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. But then he goes on here in Matthew chapter 11. I just want to show you something here. I made a statement. And I say he demonstrated by preaching and showing, doing his ministry. In verse 11, it says, and it came to pass when Jesus made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities, to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, when John had heard in prison, John the Baptist, heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, he said, are thou he that should come, or do we look for another? He was concerned. He wasn't sure what Jesus was the Messiah. And so what Jesus said, he was teaching and preaching. And then in verse 4, he said, and Jesus answered and said unto them, he said, go and show. That means something. In order for you to show something, something has to be seen. And so he was doing something. He said, go and show again those things which you do hear and see. That means he was preaching it. And then not only was he preaching it, the word was being confirmed with signs following. He said, go and show him hear what you hear and see. He said, the blind receive their sights, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And he said, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So he wasn't just preaching the word. He was also showing the word. And you know that God, he already knew that God would confirm his word with signs following. So as he began to teach, then those things that which he talked about, he would begin to manifest themselves. That's how much he believed in what he was doing. So we have to get to a point that we know that God is with us. Wherever we go, he said, I'll be with you. Even to the ends of the earth, God will go, and he will confirm his word with signs following. He promised us that in his word, Numbers 23:19. He said, God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he'll make it good. Go to again to Isaiah chapter 54. Just some key scriptures that we put on our belt as we go. And we just remember, I said, this is who I'm serving. And so Jesus understood that. Isaiah chapter 55. He says, for verse 9, 55 and 9, he said, for as the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. These are heavenly thoughts, not natural thoughts. He said, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bear, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So he sent his word to us. He said, I will. He said, go. He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he said, and those that believe, he said, they can speak with new tongues. He said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's God's word. Jesus was speaking that, so that's God's word. It come out in the earth for him. So if he spoke it, then anybody who take a grasp on that word can do that word, because God has spoke that word to us. And so he said, it shall not return to me void, but it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Make that our meditation scripture for this week. And so we can meditate it. I always say you can do it weekly. You can get some. Joshua 1:8 gives us a perfect example. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but we shall meditate it in it day and night, that we make our way prosperous and have good success. And so we understand that God's word is not going to return to him void, but it's going to accomplish that which he sent it forth to do. Those who experienced Jesus' teaching were shocked by how different it was from what they was getting. Like what's happening now. As the apostle is bringing us to a new level in the realm of the spirit, some of us are shocked by some of the manifestations that's going on right now. All the manifestations, all these signs that we're beginning to see, they are beginning to manifest. God said, I'm confirming my word with signs. Turn to Mark chapter 1. They had been getting teachings. The people, but before Jesus came along, he got something different. Mark chapter 1, looking at verse 22. In verse 21, in Mark 1, 21, it says, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into that synagogue and taught. He was a master teacher, just like he was an example. He's the chief cornerstone. So when we get to these graces, these fivefold ministry graces, we'll see Jesus operating in each one of those graces. We'll see him operating in an apostle. We'll see him operating as a prophet. We'll see him operating as a teacher, as an evangelist, as a pastor. He was a great shepherd. So we'll see him operating in these fivefold ministry groups. That's why we can say he was the chief cornerstone. He laid the foundation, but then he built up. The apostles came along and he built up on it. And they built up on what he had laid down. And so we'll see where we can't build anything else up on it but what Jesus himself told us to build up on it. He said, verse 22, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. So he taught with authority. They was astonished at the way he was teaching. You know, who is this man teaching this thing this way? The scribes have, was instructors. They have been teaching the Jews, but they didn't have the authority that Jesus was teaching with. Turn to Luke chapter 4. So I gave y'all two words when I came out. I said authority and power. So, and then now we begin to see, he said, in Luke 4:32, again, it came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Not only was it with authority, it also had power behind it. It means it had enough power in the words that he spoke to bring to pass whatever he needed to be brought to pass. Whatever he needed manifested, it came to life in Jesus' ministry. Amen. And it was different because unlike their other teachers, he taught them with authority and with power. Christ is the model that defines the ministry of teaching in his church. He's the head, and so he defined the way that a ministry should be taught. And the implication of his teaching is, model is, that unless we bring people into a tangible, supernatural reality of the gospel, we have no authority to teach it. We have no authority to teach it. We have to bring people into that supernatural reality to know that the word of God, God himself confirms that word with signs following. And unless we begin to see the supernatural, I know we are seeing it, and you know, you say, wow, you know, we don't have no authority to teach it if we are not bringing people to that supernatural reality, the tangible, something that they can see, something they can see. You know, when Jesus talked to John the Baptist's disciples, he didn't say, oh, no, I'm the one. I was sent from God. No, he said, you know, he didn't have to explain anything. He just said, go and show them and what you see and what you hear. And that means that something was happening. That means that signs and wonders was followed. God also told us that we can do the same thing. Over in Acts 1:8, he gave it to us. Absolutely. He said, Acts 1:8, he said, you shall receive power. That's that power. That's the authority again. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you should be witnesses unto me, both in Darrow, in Gonzales, in Baton Rouge, in New Orleans, in New York City, wherever you go. He said, you're going to be a witness. That means that I'm showing something, I'm teaching something, and I'm showing something. I'm manifesting these signs in the earth realm. I'm a witness to what Jesus did when he was here on the earth. Amen. But the church at large has been using earthly models, using templates gleaned from earth governments in an attempt to replicate heaven. And so when we, since we are using earth models, we're getting earth results. We're not getting heaven results. We're getting earth results. And so when the enemy come to you and tell you that, give you that deception, that you got an incurable disease, we accept it. And then it becomes your disease. It becomes my cancer. It becomes my whatever, my high blood pressure. It becomes my diabetes. And we own it. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the body of Christ. It becomes ours. And what God has told us in his word, he said, my word will not return to me void. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes, I am healed. Done deal. Already done. Already taken care. Already finished work. See? And since it's finished, then we have to be able to walk in these things. And so if we're not trained, if we're not taught, then like I said, when the enemy come in and give us these deceptions, we're going to accept them as our own. And then we carry around, we walk around with them. Amen. He said, but only heaven's templates can reproduce heaven on earth. John chapter 3, another scripture, put on your belt, put it in your notes, carry it around. Verse 27, John 3 and 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So what we've been saying, we're bringing heaven to earth. We're bringing heaven to earth. We want those same things that happen in heaven to happen here on earth. And so as we know, as we are trained out through the apostles and the prophetic, apostolic anointings and the prophetic anointings, then we know that they are looking to heaven to find out what it is that heaven wants on earth so we can bring those things to earth. Amen. When we use other models, the church becomes no more than what people already expect from their earthly experiences. And so if we use those earth models, then what they get in their experiences, like again, those sicknesses and those diseases, they're going to own them, they're going to be theirs, and they're going to not be able to eliminate them. Amen. Father God, we thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. We thank you, Father, we're no longer just hearers, but we become doers of what you tell us to do. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.